In February 1954, with the production of Don Giovanni, a new opera company made its presence known in Chicago, Lyric Theater, which 2 years later would be renamed Lyric Opera. Taking the stage as a blazing Donna Anna in those two calling card performances was one of the greatest singers America has ever produced, Eleanor Stieber. First four seasons, Stieber was one of its greatest assets, even with Maria Callas and Renata Tebaldi as her competition. She was the heroine of Lyric's first Tosca, Girl of the Golden West, and Andrea Chenier. She sang La Traviata here, too, and The Countess and the Marriage of Figaro. Her place is firm in the company's history as the first leading American singer to make a profound impact on the Lyric audience. As a singer, what did Stieber stand for? Let's ask Deborah Voigt.
I think what I like the most about her voice is it always has a certain amount of youth to it and freshness. And that's something that you hear from composer to composer and definitely something to model oneself after.
Stieber grew up in Wheeling, West Virginia, where she was born in 1916. She studied singing with her mother, who had a fine voice and saw talent in her daughter. She had Eleanor singing in public at every opportunity from an early age. Against her father's wishes, Eleanor relocated to Boston in 1933. She studied with an exacting teacher, William Whitney of the New England Conservatory, working with him nonstop for 6 years. In Boston, she debuted in opera when only 21 in a formidable role, Zenta in The Flying Dutchman. By the late 1930s, married and in New York, Stieber continued studying and relished any singing jobs she could find. But then everything changed. She won the Metropolitan Opera Auditions of the Air, which led to her Met debut as Sophie in Der Rosenkavalier in 1940. Everyone sensed that here was a voice with a future, gleaming, easy, wide-ranging, technically able to do just about anything. Stieber sang 7 Mozart roles during her Met career, but she also covered so much else. Verdi, Puccini, French composers, and for a change of pace, Johann Strauss's Die Fledermaus. As her voice developed, she took on the warmest and most womanly characters in the repertoire. She never sang Charpentier's Louise on stage, but Louise's aria shows the voluptuous sound that lucky audiences at Lyric and the Met were accustomed to hearing.
Thank you.
Stieber wasn't heard in Europe nearly often enough, but there were some major engagements at the Edinburgh Festival, in Florence, in Vienna. And then there was the Bayreuth Festival, where in 1953, Stieber showed that famously demanding audience exactly how the role of Elsa in Lohengrin should be sung. Despite her work around America in opera and in concerts, Stieber centered her activities largely on the Met, where she sang 33 roles in 22 seasons between 1940 and 1966. Her peak experience there almost didn't happen. After two other sopranos declined, she learned the difficult title role of Barber's Vanessa in less than 6 weeks and sang it for the world premiere in 1958, and she was spectacular. Stieber called herself a maverick. She was ambitious for herself and incredibly passionate in everything she did. Her teacher talked about her working hard and playing hard, and it was playing hard that made her vocal prime shorter than it should have been, although in her later career she did continue to sing concerts, some musical theater roles, and some character parts in opera. She still had a good deal of voice left when well into her 70s. She taught at the Cleveland Institute of Music, at Juilliard, and elsewhere in master classes. One of her students was Evangelina Colon, mother of Puerto Rican soprano Ana Maria Martinez, who was singing a Stieber role at Lyric this season, Marguerite in Faust. When Evangelina went to her lessons, she'd take her young daughter Ana Maria with her.
I remember always a very grand lady with tremendous presence, wearing a turban and beautiful robes, opening the door, being very gracious. She was never disappointed when she saw me come in, and I was a very little girl, and I would accompany my mother on the occasions when she could not find a babysitter. And I would go there, and I would draw, and I remember feeling very calm there, very at ease, enjoying it. And I imagine that I was paying strict attention. And when we would go home, a day or two later, my mother would be going over a phrase or something that she had been working on, in particular, Liu. And I would go to her and I'd say, no, that's not what Miss Stieber told you to do. And I would start correcting her based on what I had heard Miss Stieber say. It was such a grand presence she had that I remember feeling tremendous respect, like having to stand up straight when I walked into her home, but also feeling very welcomed in her home.
Eleanor Stieber died in 1990. We should remember her as a singer of phenomenal vocal beauty, as a brilliant musician and stylist, and above all, as a born communicator who lived to share her gift with audiences. Stieber didn't have an especially happy life off stage. She was happiest when she was singing. "There is an exaltation to the point of pure ecstasy," she said, "when singing takes you out of yourself and music takes you over. And for me, in the act of singing, for that brief time, I transcend my mortal self." This last excerpt is something I played some months ago for a prominent American soprano. After a long pause, she declared, "That's the most beautiful singing I've ever heard in my life."